This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to another Rick Shields podcast. Today we have a pretty awesome episode, episode 141, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You're nailing it so far. Keep going.
I'm doing great. All right. Today we have Grant and Garrett from Good Good, and we're just going to sit and chat for a little bit.
You've got the job.
You know what?
You've got the job.
Yeah, that was great, but let's do it again. No, that was perfect. Great intro, guys. If you obviously just heard from Garrett himself, we've got two members of the Good Good family in today. Mm-hmm. We've had a busy week filming.
We sure have. I think like 16 videos between the two channels.
That's crazy. Honestly, I genuinely believe when this content starts to drop, fans are going to go nuts.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean,
and how about the fan meetup?
Oh, that was another story. That was incredible. Yeah, well, what a week. Was it Tuesday we met up?
Yeah, you arrived here in the UK on the hottest day the UK has ever had.
And it went downhill after that.
Yeah. You guys were not prepared for it, huh? I heard there was like no AC and stuff like that.
The airport was pretty hot. It was steamy.
Runways were melting, train tracks were melting, people were dying.
So
it was a crazy day.
So Max, one of the videographers from Good Good, he's like slightly scared of flying and gets a little anxious. And right when we were about to take off to Manchester from London, they were saying how like the reason we were delayed is because the runways were melting and like it was unsafe to fly. And I could just see Max just like panicking. He's like, what's going on?
And we're really...
of course, when we took off, it was the roughest flight we've ever had. It was just going up and down all around. It was crazy.
It's mad because you wouldn't think such a short flight. Obviously, you've come from Dallas, right?
Mm-hmm.
To Heathrow and then Heathrow to Manchester. But that was the most crazy flight.
Oh yeah.
But it's not where the story ends. So I come and meet you 11 p.m. on Tuesday evening and you're all a bit tired. I've come with snacks. You didn't hear this part. I came with all British snacks.
What all did you bring?
Every British snack I could buy from WH Smith's, it was open. Yeah. And loads of water. And out of the security gates, 10 fairly fed up looking Americans walked around the corner. They were like, hi, Rick. You're right. I was like, hi, guys.
Were you all excited at this point? You had loads of energy.
I had a little sign. I had like my little good sign going, hi, come play golf all week. And I figured out they don't have any of the golf clubs. All the golf clubs didn't come off
Nightmare.
The plane. They don't have any of the camera gear. Luckily, you had almost every luggage. It was only Max, the cameraman, who didn't have his actual luggage. He had to go and buy all his clothes from Tesco this week.
Yeah. That was fun.
I was like, great start to the week. And then we got a minibus for the guys and they were starving. They were like so hungry. I was like, and Americans, let's go to McDonald's.
Obviously.
as we get to I drove on my own. Garrett texts me after about half an hour saying, hey Rick, how far are you away? I was like, I'm 40 minutes. He goes, we're an hour and a half. We set off in the same place.
Oh my word.
We were driving the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Our bus driver got a little lost.
I'm so happy you caught that because like out of nowhere, Garrett was like, I don't feel like we're going the right direction. And we just turned the van around.
And they weren't driving, they had a driver.
Well, what happened was
how did it go wrong?
I don't know. He said there was like a road closed and whatnot. And I think he just kind of started driving and was hoping for the best. But I was looking at his GPS. He had it up on the right. And I saw our ETA was going up. Like, I was like, I feel like it should go down if anything, maybe, whatever. But it was like, we're still an hour and a half. There's no way. I thought we were an hour and a half to begin with, and I like put it in my GPS, and sure enough, we were like going north. And yeah. I was like, we got to be going the other direction.
And what the funniest part is though is when you tried to tell the driver like that he was going the wrong way. He didn't believe me.
No, he didn't believe me.
He almost was like offended. Like he was like, "This can't be real." Like,
yeah,
it was
like an argument between you two. You're like, "No, I think you need to actually like turn around."
Finally, I convinced him. I said, "Just follow my phone. We'll get there." And we made it. I mean, I think it was like 26 hours, 27 hours of travel that day. Well, I mean, over a day
of
travel.
And they were so hungry. So we stopped up for services. I got there ahead of them. And I said, "Do you want McDonald's, guys?" And they were like, "Yeah." And they were
like, "What'd you order? Talk me through the order."
I'll tell you the order.
Okay, but
the McDonald's here is different.
How so? Smaller.
It's okay. First off, we got to talk like America. There's ingredients that Americans like can eat that people in the UK can't eat. Like there's certain like they're banned from America.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so the McDonald's here is so much healthier. You could tell.
Wow. Really?
Well, even the chicken sandwich was like a high quality chicken sandwich. Yeah. You're going to get a McChicken. Like, you know,
it was amazing.
Ah.
That chicken sandwich was great.
So this was a text I got at 11:50 PM at this point, right? The McDonald's was closing at midnight, right? So I went into McDonald's. I text the guys and this is the order I got back.
Go on, hit me.
But by the way, there's 10 of them, right? 5 cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
3 bacon quarter pounder with cheeses. Which we actually don't have. We don't have the bacon ones over here, I don't believe. 40 nuggets, 8 McChickens, and 9 large fries.
Nice.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, all waters.
Yeah, that's healthy then.
Yeah. So, that makes it healthy.
So I go to this McDonald's on one side of the motorway, and it's shutting, literally shutting, because of maintenance work. And they went, the McDonald's on the other side of the motorway is still open, right?
Over the bridge.
Over the bridge. So I ran over the bridge, and it's... hot.
Was it a full-on shield sprint?
Hottest day of the year, right? So I go up, and behind the counter, there's 2 members of staff. I'm thinking, oh my God, they're going to absolutely hate me. After my order, it was £99.73.
Wow.
In McDonald's. And the two women that were sat there were like looking at me like, are you actually serious?
You're about to clock off and you're the biggest order of the day.
So they ring up the guys from the other McDonald's. They all come running across.
Actually,
and they're all, honestly, I've never seen them work so fast in my life. I know these guys are fast approaching. The first time ever, I actually left a cash tip at McDonald's because they worked that fast.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
All of a sudden, you guys turned up and you said I just walked out of the trees.
Yeah. We were like, where did Rick
just come
from?
We were trying to get
a
hold of Rick. I remember you were trying to like text him.
I didn't know where the other McDonald's was. All I saw was like a highway, and then all of a sudden, Rick just comes walking out of the trees with the food. I'm like,
yeah, he literally, you came out of the bushes, literally, and just had McDonald's.
This is a miracle.
Ronald McDonald.
I said to the guys, I said, I've got your food. It was on the other side of the motorway. And they were like, you've crossed the motorway. I'm like, no, on a bridge. I'm not just dodged cars.
I'd do anything for you guys.
So obviously that was a rough start to the trip. And actually we jumped in the cars and I said to Garrett, come with me. We'll get there faster with Garrett and Kendrick. We were about 10 minutes off. The sat-nav said 25 minutes away. Mm-hmm. We drove 5 minutes down the road. Suddenly a road was closed. The time went up an hour.
Yeah.
It was like, great.
What? It was horrible traffic.
We didn't get there till about 2 a.m. Oh, on the first morning.
Well,
welcome to the UK.
But the good news is, for everyone listening and watching, we have spent the last 5 days or so making an absolute collection of banger videos for Rick's channel, for Good Goods' channel. So they will be coming very, very soon.
Just a quick one. I've just realised we've not really done a formal introduction to the channel. Because there'll be listeners out there that won't know who Good Good are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good Good, right now, I'll try and explain. You can elaborate.
Yeah.
You are currently, and I'm excited about this, I really am, currently the fastest growing golf YouTube channel.
Is that true?
In the world.
I
normally am, and you're beating me. So
it's a fact.
As that case, yeah, you're the fastest growing.
No, I feel like you guys are still growing like so fast.
The last
it feels like you had a million like yesterday.
Right now right this month, we were looking at some analytics this month. You are just about pipping us, and I'm so excited for it.
So you have analytics that just shows monthlies
Drop the stats.
No,
you can go to Social Blade.
We shared information this week.
Last 30 days, we've gained 50,000. They've gained 57.
So that's it. You've got us.
Black and white.
That's crazy.
You know what? And I'm going to say it after this week. 6 incredibly talented characters and golfers. Like the six of you are ridiculous. Thank you. Like the energy that you bring, the chemistry that you have on screen, you're all very, very different characters. Mm-hmm. Like super different. Obviously someone like Matt, who's right. quite out there and a bit crazy. If you've not seen Matt Scharf before, he's had a hole in one on the par four on camera and a hole in one on the par three on camera. Some of the most epic scenes in the world. Go and check those videos out. You've got Bubby, who just seems to love life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Give him a cigar. Give him a golf course. He is just loving life. He was great fun this week. You've got Stephen, who's like, you're one of your best friends growing up. Am I right, Gary?
Yeah. Known him my whole life.
That's great.
Is my cousin. So, I mean, most of these guys I've known for a long time. So, Steve, whole life. Micah, cousin. Matt, I think's now coming up on like 10 years, calling three. Max, since the start of Good, over 2 years or whatever. Grant, three, four years, you know, same as Colin. Luis, I've known for a long period of time as well.
So he's one of the camera
Bubby,
guys.
Same thing, like 3 years. So, yeah, I mean, we've just been friends that happen to work out and all love playing golf. So
there's a friendship there when you guys are on camera and off camera. And that was a big thing for me from watching you guys for a long time. You actually are kind of off camera like you are on camera, which is really good. And we had the fan meetup, which we'll come on to in a bit.
There's just a lot more that's cut out on camera.
There's a lot. You should need to get like a late night version of Good, X-rated.
You need Good, Uncut.
Yeah.
I don't know if we do need that.
Actually,
you're just looking like...
Be cancelled.
No, actually, you might get cancelled if that's the case.
Yeah, we don't cancelled.
Yeah.
So you've obviously got the six guys on screen, you two being obviously the two of the six. You've got Kendrick, who's just off screen here with us. He's kind of the CEO of Good. Yep. You've got Max, Colin, Luis as the camera and editors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real team and it's a very professional team. You know, it's,
I've never heard us called professional.
It has been. I think the knowledge.
It's a dysfunctional professional team.
You know what I noticed?
It's organized chaos.
Yeah. Organized chaos. That's
what you know what I noticed? Like, there's been a couple of nights where Garrett has been fancying a few drinks and letting his hair down and kind of been the instigator. But he's also been the guy I thought that he's also instigating getting filming again. So he can kind of work hard and party hard. I think at your age, that must be so important because it must be easy. What are you, 22?
Yeah, 22.
It must be easy to get tempted to go out a lot and do stuff.
Yeah, but you seem to want to work as well. In Dallas, I don't really go out that often. So, like, we're in Manchester. So we went out one night. It was a good night. You know, we had some fun. It was awesome.
We might have drank some tequilas.
Yeah, maybe.
We might have drank some Guinnesses. Rumor has it.
I may or may not have done the Guinness challenge and maybe have gotten it.
Oh, you did?
He did.
He got between the half and the Guinness. Yeah, he did it. Of course he does. It's pretty Garrett Clark.
He does everything.
Do you know what I mean? He's annoyingly good at everything. Right. But no, it's been a phenomenal week. And genuinely, right now, we spoke about it loads. I've been so excited about this week because I really respect and love what you do from a channel.
Thank you.
But I'll look at it from, obviously, someone who's done YouTube, the old granddad over here that's been doing YouTube for 10 years. And I look at you guys and go, this is great. This is refreshing. This is exciting. Like, and I think a collaboration between the two channels that we've had this week is genuinely going to blow up the internet. We know that. But it's the fact that being able to work and almost like communicate together this last week.
Yeah.
Like our editors have been talking to your editors. We've learned a bit more cameras. We've talked a bit more about analytics. I have this saying like rising tides rise together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what's kind of happened this week. I feel like we've really kind of formed a professional relationship this week, as well as hopefully a friendship where we can learn from each other and bounce ideas off each other.
Oh yeah.
And this is going to be the first of many collaborations that we do in the future, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's just Colin and Max are just like, that's just how big of a part they are. Cause the film production by them is just, it almost feels like when we watch it back or when I watch it back, it's almost like a movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're just playing golf. Like we're just doing our thing.
And same thing with they you guys. Like, that. I didn't expect you guys to have that big of a crew out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do you guys have now? Four camera guys?
We have four camera guys. We've tried to up our game.
Yeah.
You guys are setting the mark to some degree. We'll often look at your videos in the studio that we have here and we're like, God, these guys are doing that. Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can improve on this.
And us to you guys as well. Like we look at, you know, the Rick Shields videos, you know, we could be doing this better. We could be doing that better. It's the same thing. I think you can learn.
Yeah. I noticed like Rick's are a lot more organized. Rick kind of has like a plan going into it. Rick's like, all right, we're going to, we're going to do this. You're going to stand here. We're going to do this. And Goodgood's more.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Goodgood's just like, all right, we're rolling. And it's just like, yeah. It's like way more like.
And I think it's good though. Cause we can, like I said, we can learn from both, you know, and find some sort of like happy medium.
But that's
there.
What's good that you can learn and you can look at different approaches, but yet your channel will work cause you are a bit all over the place
exactly.
And it's fun and it's different.
So, like today when we were filming, we filmed one shot on the first screen. I think it was like Max at an angle from behind the cup. He filmed a putt. And like after we got off the green, I noticed that we had some really good reactions to that putt and it wasn't on camera. And I also noticed when we filmed with you guys, it was like, all right, we need to make sure we have a reaction cam. You know, someone's recording at least every person that's sitting on the green, whatever. So like Max was like, hey, we need to do that. Like we need to get a reaction cam. So like even that. Just real time. I feel like I was learning from what you guys were doing.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to up the content as well.
100%.
Right now, you guys are on 788,000 subscribers.
It's crazy.
It's been a very, very fast growth. It's been an exciting growth. You are, and whether it's going to be popular with some other of our YouTube counterparts, you are going to be the next channel that hits 1 million subscribers without even a question about it. The way you're flying at the moment, you've only released 265 videos.
That's crazy, actually.
So the growth is astronomical. I think that's partly due to the fact that you are all great characters, but you also have your own channels as well.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
You all make your own content. You all have your own separate channels that all feeds this kind of good beast.
Right.
And you've not only turned it into a channel, it is a brand, a big brand. Like I know Kendrick's behind the scenes here who deals a lot of that. The Good Good apparel line is killing it.
Oh yeah.
We went to meet up last night and you're not shipping it over here to the UK yet, are you?
No. Anyway. Well, I mean, it's just insanely expensive.
Yeah, I felt bad. That was a huge question last night too by a lot of the
fans.
We're
figuring it out. Figuring out a way to get it done in the UK. It's obviously pretty hard, but that's our next big step.
But what I'm saying is still loads of fans in the meetup was wearing good apparel last night.
Shocked me. Because I was like asking guys, like, how'd you get your hands on the apparel? You know, blah, blah, blah. Because whatever, it could be 200 pounds just to get it over here for them. But like one guy said he went to the States, went to Florida, and had it shipped to his hotel and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so that's where I feel like a lot of them ended up getting it whenever they came to the States or
yeah, we got to figure out a way because like it's just crazy the UK show out. I mean, we never expected that.
Should we talk about the meetup now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Well, we talked about doing it ahead of time. And originally, where were we going to do it?
So originally we were going to do it at one of my favorite places, and I know guys are the same, at the driving range at Trafford Golf Centre. Mm-hmm. And we spoke to Trafford Golf Centre, and obviously there's somewhat limitations there because it's indoors, and they were going to be really good to us, let us have the full wing of the driving range, but they had to limit it to 100 people, okay? And I must admit, at first I thought, 100 people, yeah, that might be about right. I don't think we'll be disappointing too many people.
We were wrong.
Very, very
And
very
I feel like
wrong.
The shocking part is usually, I mean, we always promote these in our videos, like in the good videos. And the fact that we only really talked about it on our stories and the fact that all these people showed up is just crazy.
I would say, you might disagree.
It's unreal.
I think 500 people came.
Maybe.
Because
I don't know exactly.
We started thinking last night and I had a look. On the video version of the podcast, we'll put some images up now. We won't put any spoilers because we've got a video Quinn, but we'll put some images on. There was literally the full green and the big greens at Marriott were wrapped around 360. Three or four people deep. People down the fairway, I would say conservatively, 500 people.
I think there could have been, yeah.
So we decided 2 days before we actually did the meetup because the whole week changed dynamics massively. We were originally going to do 2 days at JCB, 2 days in Manchester, and head actually up to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys got to JCB, you were like, can we not just stay here all week? And
we loved it there.
Shout out to JCB.
Yeah,
seriously,
absolutely beautiful.
We were just like, yeah, let's stay here all week because the golf course was closed. They were prepping for the JCB Championship, which is happening this week, which I'm really excited about. I'm playing with John Daly on Thursday, which can be really cool. And the guys just unbelievably looked after us. We stayed in the lodges. It's the golf course in immaculate condition. So the guy said, can we stay here? I was like, yeah.
Let's stay here.
And we did. So we stayed there from Tuesday till Saturday. Saturday afternoon, we drove up to Manchester. Garrett instigated a big night out in Manchester. Sunday, Sunday we went filming a little bit more, but it was
did
really
you need
bad
a lot
weather.
Of persuading, by the way, to go out on Saturday?
Did I need
yeah.
it? No, did they? I needed no persuading.
I feel like
out.
You were the one persuading.
I booked every bit of it. I knew exactly what we were doing.
Was this work, by the way?
All on the work account.
No,
yeah.
But did you told your wife this was work, yeah? Or did well, she know?
I told her I'm actually just going checking the footage. no, she knew. But I did. I must admit, I darted off a bit early. I wish I could have stomached it for a little bit longer. But I was absolutely goosed. Sunday afternoon, we then did the meetup. Sunday evening, it was horrendous weather. The meetup started at 8 p.m. Okay, there was fans arriving from as early as 4 p.m.
Even earlier.
There was
even
fans earlier. Arriving and traveling 4 hours plus from places like Southampton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Newcastle, Scotland. It was absolutely crazy. Genuinely, right now, I think of all the things I've done in YouTube, and I've done some really, really cool things. I'm very blessed with that. Last night at the meetup was one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely agree.
Like, it was absolutely 100%.
We say that after,
amazing.
We say that after every single fan meetup. I mean, that's where you get the full experience of, like, who is watching you, and you get to connect with them. And I think that's the coolest part about it, is that the people behind the screen that are watching you, that are commenting, that are supporting you, they're the ones that you get to meet in person, interact with them, meet them for the first time, and you get to leave an impression.
It's also crazy. It's like 100,000 views online. It honestly doesn't even feel compared to like 500 in person. When you see it in person, yeah. even though it's 500 people, it feels like a million.
Well, you guys are now starting, similar to us, getting, you know, upwards of 500,000 views a video, pretty much. Imagine that many people.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even hold it. Because like you say, let's say we did say it was 500 people there last night. It is really hard to say. It was somewhere definitely between 400 and 500. That felt unbelievably busy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievably busy. Like, they were right next to us. We played golf. We played four holes until it quite literally went dark. A video on Good Goods will be coming out soon. Like you say, when you can see people's reactions, when you can see the whites in their eyes and the excitement that they're seeing, you guys coming over here, like, I think that was a massive, massive pull. Obviously, you've never not collectively been here to the UK before. No. Like, you've never been out the country, Grant.
I haven't. Never been really? Only the Bahamas. Bahamas.
That doesn't really count, though.
That doesn't really feel like,
like you know, you guys have come over here, and the reception you got, and being able to see not only young kids being a massive fan, which I'd probably expect, but there was like guys who were like middle-aged men in the 50s coming up and getting pictures with you all, walking around the golf course, the atmosphere. I would be interested to know, and you've done a few of these meetups, one of the latest ones you did in Chicago.
Yeah.
How are the UK fans compared to what you've done in America so far?
So I guess the way to compare it is, like, we did one in Kansas City, which is my hometown, and the fans there were honestly basically the same, in my opinion, to the UK, as far as, like, chill, you know, very, very polite, not, like, in your face. But then when we went to Chicago, it was like madness. It was crazy.
Yeah.
In the best of ways, too. They're
all
positive.
It's great.
It's just, loved Chicago. Unreal. But yeah, like, I would just say, like, everyone here was very polite, very chill.
That's what I got to say. Like, the difference between here and America, like, super, super polite here. Super, like, organized. They were, like, everyone's very, like, together.
And I'm not saying that the people in Chicago were not polite at all. It's just, like, It's really hard to compare them, but they're a lot more chill, I feel.
We've said this before, haven't we? When we've done videos, like challenge videos, where people can win cash off Rick, in England, we did one at Trafford Golf Centre where people could, if they hit like a long drive, whatever, they get money. And they were really grateful, but quite like muted and, oh, thank you. Whereas you watch that on American YouTube and it feels like there's so much more like excitement and
it's energy.
It's a different
It is the energy, yeah. They go crazy for anything.
Yeah, Chicago's got a higher amount, like just more of an intense energy. Yeah. And I just feel like here, maybe they're more into the golf, like really into the game more, and like want to just really watch it.
And in America, maybe more the entertainment. Like when Bubby made that putt, he made a Texas wedge putt 30 yards where it went crazy. Everyone was going nuts. They tackled him. He couldn't even make it up to the green. He sprinted right at the green. Got tripped, tackled, loved it. It was unreal. But like, just think about the putt you made on hole one.
Oh,
and how crazy that feeling that. that high, the adrenaline rush is crazy.
I won't give any teasers away, but I hold a foot on the first hole with all these people watching. And I was, you know what was strange about it? I was nervous, but it was more, it was excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like everyone was there wanting us to do well.
Right.
Like, no one was there wanting us to hit bad shots. And right, it was like a supportive crowd. And I hold this birdie putt, and I cannot wait to watch the footage, because hopefully it really captivates the actual atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Because the feeling through my body at that point was like better than anything I've ever done. And what was mad, for the four holes after, you want that back again.
Yeah, you want it.
You want
yeah.
that cheer. Yes. You want that excitement. You want that crowd to go crazy. Oh, like, yeah. And it makes you like understand to very, very small level. But you can understand. Imagine going on a charge on a Sunday afternoon in the major.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Or holding a putt in a massive Ryder Cup, and like the atmosphere
for these
players must be insane. So we kind of got a glimpse of that, and like I say, a very small glimpse, but it probably can't quantify much more than what that was yesterday.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. I also felt like the crowd, as much as they sometimes got a bit close, they were a bit more, when we asked them to move, They would move. Where again, from what I saw in Chicago, or other places, they're like, they didn't move, they got closer.
They got closer, literally. You say move, they're like, all right, no, we're getting close, they didn't care.
But I think definitely more fan meetups. I'd love to do more, but I think doing again together, we've already had a discussion about me coming over to America, our team coming over to America.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I've not been on a plane for 3 years, and I think coming over to the States would be pretty epic, and doing something over there. But yeah, we've done loads and loads of content. I featured in a good major, which was very tense. Yeah.
Very tense. A lot more serious. You could probably tell based off of our other challenges, our other videos versus that, the energy even. We're not as going crazy. We're not, you know, 18
holes. Like that's the thing. Like 18 holes, it's like a marathon.
What number major was this that we played in just gone?
This is 4 total, I believe.
But for this year.
Two this year.
So if you've not seen one of the good majors before, it's quite simply serious stroke play.
Yeah.
It really is. Like the guys were practicing, they were grinding before going playing. Like even around breakfast on that Saturday morning, we played at the JCB, it was different.
Yeah.
Like they weren't talking.
Well, I've got a question.
They weren't drinking whiskey at 9 o'clock in the morning on that
like every other day.
I've
got a question for you. So without giving any spoilers, because there's obviously on our channel that you played each of the Good members in a 9-hole match play,
which is going to be so.
They will drop every week, probably on like a Wednesday, I think. You also took the guys as a good opening video onto the 17th, the par 3 downhill water or on the green, and that was kind of a little challenge, that intro video. And then we've also got an illegal golf club battle.
Yeah, good played with the illegal golf clubs that I've collected over the years.
So from the guys, there's three of you who are like elite golfers. You two and Micah are all like scratch handicappers. The other guys were a lot better than I thought they would be. Like literally a lot better. So athletic, fast, hit a long way. But my question for you, Rick, are the guys better than you thought they would be?
Without even a question.
Yeah.
Like a lot better. And I'm almost somewhat envious of the fact that the six of you can compete and practice and play, because that brings better golfers out of you. Like, absolutely. I think I've got better through the week.
Oh, yeah. You did. 100%. Like, you've been playing really, I don't want to spoil anything, but you started playing some really good golf towards the end.
I feel like you need to. Like, it brings the best out in you.
Yeah.
Because you have to hit good shots. Like, it's not about a question of, I'm just going to make the numbers up here. It took a while, and I kind of wish I'd come into the week a little bit hotter, but don't give any spoils away. But it was like, as the weeks got on, as I'm playing with you, as the quality of the golf is better, the quality is so good, I'm like, I need to up my freaking game here. And hopefully I did. And like towards the last match we've just had out there, that 4v4, which very randomly, one of the biggest football stars in the world from Man United, Scott McTominay, joined us because he's a huge fan of your channel and a fan of my channel as well. He came and joined us. That was epic. I think that might be my favorite video of the week.
Yeah. Oh, that was unreal. And also one of the nicest guys I met, like within whatever, he's a celebrity, pro athlete. One of the nicest guys, definitely. Really genuine guy, you know.
He turned up at the meetup. He gave us all Man United and Scotland shirts signed, personally signed.
Yeah, with a note.
He didn't give Guy one because he listens to the podcast and knows Guy's a Liverpool fan.
That was quite cool.
I like that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, gave us all a nice little personalised note. Spent the day with the meetup. Hit some putts at the meetup for your team.
Yeah.
Also, he joined us today for a challenge. And for the video we shot in the end of the league, he was just in the background just loving life.
Yeah.
Just watching as a fan.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was kind of surreal even seeing that. I still don't understand it, you know?
Nicest guy. Like, he just treats you just like the most normal person. Like, he treats everybody in the room.
The same way, yeah.
Everybody in the room the exact same way.
Very respectful guy, yeah.
What's been your highlight from your trip in the UK?
I would say definitely the meetup for me.
Yeah, that, and I also, the meetup for sure, but just experiencing JCB all those days, just completely to ourselves. Like, yeah. I thought Rick was the one that shut that thing down. You know, I thought that was Rick's power.
I did.
You did?
It wasn't supposed to be. I just said, shut this place down.
Yeah.
There's not a tournament coming.
Me and Good got to come in, give us the keys, and leave us
we
be.
We own the place this week.
Okay, then.
No, highlight was away, going out in
away,
Manchester.
I was
going
to say, away away from the golf. Okay, a different question then. What's been, and because you've tasted a lot of different foods over here this week. Name me your favorite type of food that you've never had before.
Did you both have pasties today? Did you have a pasty, Grant?
That might have been. Yeah, I did.
I had the flapjack today. I never had a flapjack.
I think I know what it's going to be, and I can't believe you've both not said it straight away.
Why can I not?
You're saying you're getting the sausage roll.
The sausage roll. Oh, yes. Unreal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
I liked it. Unreal. I give it like an 8. I wasn't crazy. I liked it, but...
What? Was the pasty better for you?
See, this is the thing that Rick and I, like, we argued about. Like, I'm a big sushi guy. Like, I love sushi.
What does that have to do with sausage?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's my type of, like... That's my type of food.
I think I described it as
small,
like,
sophisticated palate.
I want a food I can just go like. I want a sausage roll I can like get my
America
teeth into.
America is perfect
sushi's
food.
Like, well, sushi, what is this crap? Yeah, sausage roll was a big hit. You don't have them in America at all.
No, never had a sausage roll.
When I do like these sausage roll reviews, break 75.
Like, what the hell?
The American audience must be like, what the hell?
Wait, so it's like more than just at JCB. They have those everywhere?
Yeah. Almost.
So it's like a hot dog.
Really? Every halfway house. Well,
yeah, kind of.
Every halfway house pretty much has a sausage roll.
It's like a hot dog for us.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the same exact
thing. Do you guys have hot dogs? Hot dog buns?
Oh, what's that?
Shut up. Is that a common thing, though? Or would it be more common to have a
sausage
roll?
Smaller when you go bowling or something like that, they'd have like hot dogs or like a fun fair or whatever.
Yeah, we don't. With cinema, you'd get hot dogs, but out on the golf course, definitely not. So you get halfway house, most places have hot dogs.
That's pretty much the main thing.
Every single place, hot dogs.
I'm trying to think what else you would have. It's mainly just hot dogs. And then Chicago is famous for having the best hot dogs. It's a Chicago dog, which I absolutely loved when I went. It was delicious. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not a big hot dog guy.
What's been so far in your good journey? And it can be either from your separate channels, because you both kill it. Because how many subs have you got on your separate channel, Garrett?
I think 680, something like that. I'm not really sure.
You don't have to act cool. You can tell.
No, I really don't know the number.
Don't act cool.
I think it's around 680 or something. You can get the exact number.
You know, I like how you did that.
What is it?
Because it's less than what it actually is.
I think it's 700 not, isn't
it? No, it's 690.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. I actually didn't know that.
You've had at least 700K then.
You've had a busy week. And then what's yours on Grant?
I 170 something, 173.
Oh, don't give me all this. 173.
I seriously try and stay out of the numbers for me.
177.
Yeah. Yes.
What's yours, really Rick?
I feel a bit bad. Grant, I've not subscribed.
Do you know what your number is exactly, Rick?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Big fan.
2.262.
Do you know what that exact?
I don't know. Number. I'm just making it up.
All right.
Let me look. I'm going to look. Rick Shields.
Do you guys obsess over numbers and views, though? Like,
not anymore.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which
is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Do you
ever have that feeling where you release a video that you think is good, you've put a lot of effort into it, and it doesn't bang and you feel disheartened? Or
I was telling Guy that I think I was telling you this. It's like, for me, if I upload a video and it does really, really good, yeah, I try and like not get excited about it or happy. I don't even try and talk about it, anything like that, because I know if I have one that's really bad, yeah, I'm not gonna really worry about it as much, you know?
Just so stay neutral.
Just try and stay neutral in the middle. You know, that's just kind of how I
And know. I think, well, when you ask that question, I think there's a pull between, like, you want to look at your analytics, you want to really study thumbnails and titles and everything, but you also don't want to get obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Because if you let it, like, obviously dictate your emotions and stuff, it's going to...
Because it's not going to be good. It has definitely done that for me.
I think we need to learn from this. We take things very, very personal.
We text each other all night. It's 1 out of 10. It's 1 out of 10.
Yeah, you're out there jumping up and
down. We need to change the thumbnail. We need to change the thumbnail. It's not performing. What I was going to ask you on the follow-up question was, what's been your favorite video you've ever made?
Mm.
And it might be separate. It might be a good video. It might be a video you've made together. Is there a standout video you're like, that's my favorite?
You want to go first? Because I don't really know. I'm trying to think.
I would probably say, for me, it would probably be under the GM. It would have to be probably under GM, because we've done so many really cool collabs, but it would take me a second to think.
There's one on your personal channel, your vlog.
I mean,
channel.
I'll say the Good Good Major was probably the most fun.
The one
I've
previous.
Had. The one we just filmed.
Oh no, one that's already out.
Okay.
Stop kissing the mic, so, Garrett.
Sorry, could you hear it?
You might get a lot of people excited. Because we went to a place on Saturday night.
Oh, right.
We're not going to bring that up.
Right.
So,
for me, it would be, okay, so it would be Matt's hole-in-one.
Describe that.
But
because that was a mad, mad moment.
Yeah, so Matt's hole-in-one, it was the whole day, obviously, just like, obviously, so we got up to the par four, whatever, 285 yards, blind shot. And normally on blind shots, we don't really have people go up to the green, at least at that point in time, because we've never really gotten close to hole in one or had a reason to do it. But it was just funny. Like, we saw a snake on the ground. People were freaking out. We're like, okay, whatever, you know. And then Max's dad was there watching us, because he was the one who got us on the course. And he was like, seen a hole in one here before, so I think we should go up to the green just in case, you know. Max goes up, Luis goes up. Obviously, Micah hits the pin, Bubby hits it on the green, and I'm just like, what if we actually make a hole in one here?
I don't even think you said,
I said
along the lines of, like, I think we're gonna make, like,
well, I said, what if we made a, I said, boys, what if we made a hole in one, you know? And I was just kind of like, whatever. And Matt got up there, makes a hole in one. I didn't believe it. I was just like, what the heck? What's going on? Yeah. We just started sprinting. The whole thing, the whole series of events, we say, like, if we didn't see that snake, he might not have made a hole one. You never know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then for me, that was more like the afterwards when Colin and Max were editing it, you know, I was able to have input, see the intro. And like, we all knew, we were just like, as soon as this goes live, it's going to break the internet. So I think it was that, just the whole thing. We were just like, this is amazing. We can't believe it, you know?
And you, yeah, you sat on that content for a little while as well, didn't you? While it got edited.
That one was a little bit. The one that took forever to upload was the par three hole in one.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah, we ran into some issues with the media rights at the PGA Tour. So we had to take about a month or so.
Oh, we finally got so hard.
That was really hard.
To be fair, though, you know it's there.
Yeah.
As long as all the footage is there, it's going to come out at some point, you'd like to think.
Well.
Right. All right.
We weren't sure. Helped. No, I think we were allowed like 20 minutes or 20, whatever it was, inside the ropes footage, and we were able to crop it down, get something good out of it, and upload the video.
Yeah.
That's mad.
But yeah, I think back to Matt's hole in one, I mean, the sequence of events, craziest thing ever. Bubby hitting the green, Micah hitting the pin, and it's Matt mad. Making it. I don't think that sequence, I don't think could
it
ever
like
be repeated.
It was like perfect the way it went. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that could ever be repeated.
And the run up, the you know, what you might find it frustrating. I find it ridiculously frustrating when people are like saying it's false,
yeah,
and it's fake,
yeah,
and you're like, are you for real? You, first off, you cannot. Fake that reaction.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Like, you can't. The reaction from all of you, the way it was filmed, you've got it from every angle. Like,
it's and Matt talks about it all the time.
So it almost seemed more fake that we had it from every angle.
That's the one thing. If somebody saw it as a standalone clip, they might think, well, why are these young lads?
I saw that comment once. Yeah.
Why are these young lads got all these videos?
Yeah.
They
don't realize you're actually making a big, yeah, you know,
every time
YouTube.
You play. They didn't know exactly what we did. Like on Instagram, I saw that comment a couple times. But for the most part, I feel like everyone realized it was real. For the most part.
Oh, definitely. 100%. I mean, it was the motion, the way you were running down.
It almost like after like Matt made a second hole in one and then Garrett makes his albatross.
At some points,
like Garrett and I look at each other and we're like, this doesn't feel real. Like, yeah, it feels almost fake to us.
You've had a lot of hole outs on the channel.
Tons.
Loads. Yeah. But
great. And Bubby and I, we forgot this, but Bubby and I made back to back hole outs. Bubby made a hole out over the trees.
From how far?
Yards,
like
85 yards.
85.
Next hole, I hold out, direct dunk, 123 yards. How does that happen?
Yeah.
It still doesn't make sense.
So both balls were in the actual cup at once.
Two different holes.
Oh, two different
holes. Yeah, back-to-back holes. Crazy.
But in fairness, like, I saw something today that I didn't think I'd ever see. So, and it doesn't sound spectacular, but this would maybe justify while you get these special moments. There was eight of us out on the golf course playing today. 17th hole, the drivable par four, five of us hit the green,
yep,
to a really, yeah, decent point.
Yeah.
And you think, well, actually, if you keep giving those odds, you keep giving those opportunities, yeah, you keep having those, like, you are really good, talented players. And you're capturing everything, you're filming lows together. It's probably likely you're going to get some hole outs at some,
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
You know,
everything's on camera. Everyone's trying super hard
because, yeah,
we're super competitive, so.
Well, that's it. Like, it sounds daft again today when we're on that par four. Like, normally me hitting the green on that par four is a great achievement. I'm walking down that hole thinking, yeah, I've killed this.
Yeah.
I was probably the third closest to the pin.
Yeah,
and I'd hit the green.
Well, we almost made it too.
That's
that
what I mean.
Crazy.
So it just shows you have to keep upping your level. Like even that shot into 18 that I hit today, I knew I had to get it unbelievably close because, you know, the standard is that.
Yeah. Right.
That's the standard. So you have to keep putting it closer and closer and closer and closer.
It is good, like Grant said, it's because we're so competitive. You see someone do something crazy, you're like, all right, now
I gotta outdo them.
Yeah.
Like, if there wasn't that competitive feel and people didn't care, nobody would stand up there and perform. Like, you'd just be getting up there like a normal round of golf, but we are trying. Like, it's a grind. We're all trying to beat each other so bad. And like,
some more than others, Bubby and Micah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we're
they the most competitive.
For sure. Yeah.
I didn't get that vibe from Bubby.
Yeah.
Oh, is he super competitive?
Yeah. Very competitive. In a good way. I mean, they're just...
He doesn't show it.
Yeah, Bubby.
That I saw.
Yeah, Bubby's probably the most, I would say.
Yeah. Bubby and Micah. I would say those
two. I thought
Micah, just,
definitely.
But they, yeah, go... They just go.
But it's good.
It.
Like, Bubby wants to win at whatever he does. Like, he's just very, very, very competitive.
And same with Micah. And I feel like everyone knows that, too. We've talked about it on our podcast and whatnot. You can kind of tell through the screen as well. And so, yeah. which is good.
And I would say Steve's the lead. Like, Steve's just kind of...
Yeah.
He's just so Steve's chilled. Just,
he's there to have fun.
But he can rip it. He absolutely. Hits all of you do. It's mad.
Unbelievable shots this week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did.
Honestly, really did.
Yeah. I thought you two and Mike and you were going to be good, obviously, and you were. I think those three surprised me the most at how much better they were. Because they say, oh, yeah, I'm like a 15 handicap, whatever. I can't.
Never been a 15.
They're like absolutely, they're so strong through the ball. It's insane.
Yeah, they're off like five.
They probably are.
I would say so.
Yeah, the thing is you get 18 holes. Like, if you're going to really judge somebody on their handicap, you get them on 18 holes and they have to focus. Like, Steve is amazing. Like, he can do some
first
crazy
nine.
Stuff. Super talented, but I don't think Steve cares enough to, like, keep his head in it for 18 holes.
He's
like,
a front nine player.
We were chatting to, I think he's in the best position in good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could agree with that. Yeah.
Because nobody expects him to play great.
Yeah.
Really, right. Really. If he hits a bad shot, it's okay. Steve. Yeah.
I think Bubby's in the same. He views it the same exact way. It's like you just said.
And then when Steve or Bubby does hit a great shot, it's like they've overperformed. They've over delivered.
Yeah. Bubby's improved like crazy too, and he played some great golf.
Honestly, genuinely believe if I spent a month with you guys playing all the time, my game would be in the best shape of ever. Because you just have to. As I mentioned a minute ago, you have to.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. Did either of you have kind of ambitions and goals to make it on tour? Did you ever get to a point where you want to try and push it? Do you ever still want to push it? Or is now your one track mind towards kind of social media and building a brand?
You can go first.
That's an interesting question because we've got it a good bit. I played so many tournaments growing up. I played literally every week. I played 4 years in college. But I would say when I was probably 17, 16 years old, I almost like knew in my mind, I wanted to do it, but I just was not quite good enough. And even at that age, I was like, and then I went into college. Like, I played good. I played some solid years in college.
Your last year was insane, right?
Yeah.
What did you almost win conference or whatever?
Yeah, I was like leading my conference tournament and I think I set the lowest like scoring average at my school at the time. I think it's been passed now.
What was it, like 70 or 71?
It was like 73.1. Yeah.
That's really good.
But even then, it's like I was such a realist. Like, I'm a consistent, like, I know I can play consistent golf. I can shoot in the 60s. I can play well, but I was always true to myself. And I was like, I'm not going out there gonna go shoot 65, 65, 69 like these guys do on the Korn Ferry Tour. I don't ever do that, so I don't really have that like glimmer of hope because it's just you got to be so different.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good answer.
Yeah,
you almost realized straight away that you weren't. You had it. You were good.
I was good,
but you weren't quite good enough.
Not quite good enough. And I was at
17. I don't think that's a bad thing to do because then you can shift direction.
Right.
You can move into something you actually are more passionate about that you can do. And I think sometimes in golf, and we were chatting about it with Scott this week with football. I think golf's the only sport that nobody's going to tell you not good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from yourself. If you've got the money, you can continue to play professional golf as much as you want.
Oh, 100%.
Where in football, as Scott McTominay was saying today, if you're not good enough, you don't get signed.
Yeah, you don't get signed. You don't get picked for the team. You're on the bench.
You get dropped.
Yeah. Right.
You know. And what about you, Garrett?
So, kind of same answer for me. When I got into it, I was obsessed with it. So, first round of golf. Hated golf. I actually like told my friends who convinced me to go play golf. I was like, I don't think it's a sport. You know, I was like, it doesn't take talent. I was actually a soccer player at the time, played football. They convinced me to go play golf, par three course, made a hole in one, first round of golf ever.
Oh my God.
You didn't.
I did.
Of course you did.
I did.
Of course you did. You got it.
Been lucky ever golfer. Since.
Yeah, luckiest golfer in the entire world.
But honestly,
I'll stand by it.
You know, if it wasn't for that ball going in the hole, I would have never played golf again. I was hating it.
So the odds of you playing golf were 12,500 to 1.
I mean, maybe I would have picked it up a couple of times, but I was hating it because I was playing so bad. I was chunking everything. Sixth hole, me and my neighbor, Joe Wrestle, tie that hole, and he's like, let's do a playoff hole. Let's go back to the tee. I was like, sure. Grabbed a 7-iron, 85 yards, knocked in the hole. Everyone's going crazy. I didn't even know what it meant. I was just like,
how old were you then?
I was 13, about to turn 14. So at the time, like when that went in, I was like, "Oh, I'm good at this sport. I can do this. I like this." You know, that rush.
And now you call it a sport.
Yeah. And as soon as that went in,
now
it's
you
a sport.
Need talent.
Now it's a sport. But exactly, as soon as it went in, I was like, "Okay." And as soon as I was playing, I realized how hard it was. So after that, I was like, "I just want to go pro. I want to do anything and everything to get good at this sport." I played every single day. I quit soccer. 6 hours a day, whatever. And as I got through junior golf, I realized it wasn't as good as I obviously thought I was. Went to college, didn't play NCAA golf because I was ineligible at the time because of social media. The rules have changed now with the NIL deals, which is great. But at the time, I was ineligible because I was making money through social media.
Is that right?
Yeah. So NCAA golf was off the table. I then went to a community college, and I played for 2 years. I played for a year, dropped out of college to do YouTube. And as soon as I dropped out of college to YouTube, I was like, YouTube is the goal. YouTube golf's my goal. I'm going to do this. It's not to say that I won't give it a try in the future. Give it 4 or 5 years down the road when, you know.
I think you could. I don't think I can.
I beg to differ. I think you could.
I think you got like good. You got the more natural raw talent.
He's got the look.
No, he's got the more natural raw talent. He does. Like I can.
Do you honestly think you might pursue it in the future?
I could. I'm not going to say that guarantee. I would say 4 or 5 years, I might give it a go. It's impossible right now. What we do, I can say it right now. It is impossible to make it on tour. If Micah goes and does it, I will be the most impressed person. Like it's so hard because we're traveling, we're filming content. And you got to find time to still practice every single day. Those guys are not, they're not joking around. They're practicing 4 to 6, 7, 8 hours a day, even sometimes to get where they're at. And for us, like we can't do that right now.
They're not going on the phone, checking TikTok, Instagram.
Exactly.
They're just not. These guys who are making it, they are not obsessed with the phone. No. That like we spoke with, we had Sir Nick Faldo on the podcast and we asked about advice about, you know, budding tour pros. He said, get rid of this. Get rid of your phone.
Garrett and I have talked about that. We have talked about like just guys trying to make it on tour, and we're like, you should not be on there posting your swing and like interacting and hearing comments and like keep away from
distraction. Have someone do it for you because, like I say, it's so distracting. You can still make a brand from it, but you don't have to be posting everything yourself or being obsessed with
and
it.
And even if it's like for me, I've thought if I was on tour, tournament week rolls around, phone's off.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at social media at all. I don't want to hear anyone's
But not every
opinions.
Guy's like that.
Not everyone's like that. And some people make it work. You got guys like Max Homa, who is insanely good with his social media and Twitter, is also a great tour pro. Multiple wins on tour. Very impressive that he can do that. You got guys in both
areas. I suppose the only guy that's done it, and we had his brother on recently, is Wesley Bryant.
Yeah,
has kind of done it to a degree, but
he even turned off the YouTube though to go on PGA Tour, didn't he?
I feel like he more featured in YouTube videos. It wasn't him doing the YouTube videos, really.
George kind of took that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Took the reins on that. Yeah,
but it is a funny back to like us starting. We both started kind of late.
Yeah, because like, he started when he was 13 as well.
I
was
13. My dad was a pro, and I didn't like golf either.
Did you like almost like rebel from your dad?
Oh, 100%.
You hear that a lot, don't you? Yeah. People whose dads are pros, they don't want to play.
Yeah, because golf was like, it's in your face growing up, and I thought it was the most boring thing ever. And like Garrett says he started at 13. I started probably at 13 and a half, 14 almost, and it's crazy. Because like at that time, though, when I started, I remember my dad always saying like, your friends have already been playing for 5 years. They're already shooting great scores, and I'm way behind. Like, it was always playing catch-up.
That's exactly
always
what
playing catch-up.
Was told to me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at 30, you look around now, and I know in the States it's much more competitive. At a very, very young age.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
4 or 5. And
like, what's that Netflix show, Short Game?
Short Game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that just highlights.
Oh, and I know all those juniors.
It's crazy,
I played with
it?
Both
really?
Of them. Yeah, the Pano and Kornikova. They used to play on the same tour. I didn't like play with them, but I know exactly who they are. Yeah,
but it shows like we don't have that over here in the UK at all. Not
we have
close.
Like really? Junior. We have like obviously golf clubs have junior sections, but it's often a lot more like relaxed, isn't it? It's getting into the game. It's not as competitive, and there is some like the Faldo series. Nick Faldo has a series where you get like elite juniors playing in it, but there's not that much,
not much
is there really?
All. Not much at all. The one thing you have shown true determination over though, Garrett. Is your trick shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
The grind you put into that. is absolutely crazy.
Oh yeah.
Are they less of a priority for you now?
Now they are. Yeah. I still like doing them. Like you even saw me on the practice screen, crazy. The two ball shot.
Yeah.
I tried for probably a couple hours, didn't make it's it. Madness. But it's fun to me. I still will do trick shots, just maybe not as often now. I like doing YouTube a lot more. I like the content, the process behind it, telling a story. Grant and I just did a trip. Actually, we released our first video today, but we started North California, San Francisco, drove all the way down the coast, ended in San Diego. I think we played, 10 courses in 8 days, 8 courses in 6 days, what it was. Wow. But absolutely unreal. Right,
it did almost like a bit of a vloggy style.
Absolutely, yeah, we filmed like everything.
So that's coming out soon.
Yeah, we uploaded our first video just now, actually. So.
Nice. And what have you called it, a series?
Long Drive. Yeah, we just call it Long Drive.
Long Drive.
Yeah,
so I was thinking the Garrett and Grant show.
Everything you do is that theme tune, isn't it?
it really is. What trick shot have you spent the most time trying to complete?
Actually completed? It was one with Mike and I. It was way back. I can't remember exactly when this was. Yeah, I mean, it's multiple. Yeah, it was 3 days. It was 3 days. It was basically where I was juggling and Micah was going to flick it with a towel. And when he hit the ball would shoot backwards and go into a hole like 20 yards away. And we spent 3 days, like 8 hours one day, didn't get it.
8 hours?
Yeah, it was crazy. 8 hours one day, didn't get it, came back, didn't get it. And then the next day we got it. But it was crazy, yeah.
What about your slam dunk at Topgolf? That was pretty incredible.
4 hours, I think 4.5 hours straight. No, it was about 4 hours, yeah. Because it was funny, we were there for like a Topgolf creator retreat, and everyone was like doing their content, getting their swing videos, and I was just like grinding over there, just ball after ball. Like my wrists were hurting. I was just like, everyone's like, what is this guy doing? He's never going to make it. And then I made it. I was just going crazy.
Do you almost get two buzzes? Do you almost get the buzz that you've completed it live, and then you get the buzz of actually releasing the content?
Yeah. You get two buzzes. But so here's the problem with like being consumed by the numbers, because obviously the buzz of making it is great, but then you spent 4 hours and you upload it and it doesn't do as well. Now all of a sudden it's kind of,
you almost crash.
It's a bum. It's like you're kind of bummed a little bit.
It's weird, isn't it?
Instead of being buzzed. But
yeah.
Now you guys grew up in an era that I didn't grow up in, and no guy didn't as well. Like, we didn't grow up with YouTube. Like, you guys have properly grown up with just knowing YouTube.
After I made that hole in one, like probably a couple of years later, I just got on YouTube and typed in golf and I saw you. And that's so I started watching you literally when I was like forever ago. What is that? Like 7 years ago? No, right, 8 years ago. It's crazy.
I remember, didn't you? You met Rick at the PGA show in 2018 when you did the Wilson Driver versus Driver.
You showed us a picture of that today, actually.
Over 4 years ago.
And you've been watching for a while before that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's been like 7-8 years now.
I know we spoke about doing a collaboration for like 2 or 3 years, and it's always been quite tricky, but it's good to have finally got the collaboration that everyone's really wanted this week.
Yeah.
But what I was getting at is almost, when I came into YouTube, I came to YouTube not to be a YouTuber. That wasn't the goal. For me, when I started making YouTube videos, it was to promote myself as a golf coach, to get busier as a golf coach.
Right.
YouTube wasn't a business. Wasn't even monetized, wasn't even a thought of an actual business. That's massively changed in 10 years.
It's kind of funny you say that, because for me, my dad would follow me around with a camera and just film my competitive rounds. And that was for me to promote myself to college coaches.
Right.
And kind of the same thing. Actually, Carl Phillips was the one who really like started doing that with his dad. He'd follow every tournament, film every shot. I would do the same thing with my dad, just to obviously put my name out there. Maybe coaches will see it. And
so it was almost to promote yourself as well.
Yeah, same thing. I kind of started that way. And then obviously that's how I started. I took a little bit of a break and then came back in more with the intention of doing YouTube later on.
So when you the second time coming around, when you really went, right, okay, I'm going to start doing YouTube, was that to become a YouTuber? Like, did you have the goal that this was going to be your full-time job?
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, yes. I'd been seeing so many others doing it, and I was just like, why not me? I should get into this. I love golf. I love cameras. I love content. And I'd already been doing Instagram a lot. I've been doing my trick shots. I think I had 75,000 followers on Instagram when I really like committed to going into YouTube. And when I did that, I was just like, all right, we're doing it. I think shortly after I started going into YouTube to be a YouTuber or whatever, I think I like did 90 days, 90 videos or something like that while I was in college, would film vlogs of me on the road, practicing, playing, edit them on my phone while I was at the events, college tournaments, whatever. It's crazy. But
what I'm excited about seeing, and 100% I'm excited about this right now, I think we talked about it recently, there's about 600 golf YouTube channels right now in the world.
Really? I didn't even know that.
And when I remember when I first started, there was probably 10, right?
That's crazy.
What's the next wave
of
golf YouTubers going to be like? Like, felt like, I'm going to take all credit for this. I inspired you to become a YouTuber.
No, absolutely.
You guys are inspiring the next generation. And they're going to inspire the next generation. I mean, it's going to go I don't even think we've started.
I've got a question for you. It's a bold one. Do you think there'd be a time, maybe in 5 years, 10 years, where YouTube golf and YouTube golfers are as big, if not bigger, than like PJ Tour, LIV, etc.? It seems like, look at what we saw yesterday. 500 people came on notice of a day. That was just a quick Instagram announcement. If there was tournaments held that were obviously in advance at the right venues, and it doesn't have to be the best players, but people who've got personalities, who've got online followings, could that be bigger in 10 years' time, for example?
I always consider, I'll probably be way, way, way off the mark, and I don't think ever any of us are going to touch the reach that someone like Tiger Woods gets. But I wonder how we would do in the PIP.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how we would do in media headlines, searches, views, engagement. The mad numbers that we obviously collectively get individually on your channels, Google channels, my channel. Like, the numbers are going to be massive. But, you know, I do genuinely believe there will be a channel that gets to 10 million subscribers.
Yeah,
I believe that.
100% in golf. Like, there'll be a channel that even probably goes past that. And I think the more great content, and this we've talked about this so much this week, the reason why I'm so excited about collaborating with you guys, because you make great content.
Thank you. Yeah, that was intense.
I think as long as we get a next wave that even tries to do better than us, that even tries to push us,
right,
that even tries to push the envelope even further, it's only going to do golf. It's only going to do YouTube. It's only going to do golf YouTube a bigger boost. None of this is bad. As long as good quality, fresh, exciting
competition is
content
good. Always.
Keeps coming up.
And I think quality is the biggest thing, because once you get on, like once you're on YouTube, it's like the difference between another channel and another channel is being able to like see where the ball's going, like different little things that separate you. And I think quality is the biggest thing. Because you can't just get up there, hit it without a tracer, and then
not anymore. You could 10 years ago.
The only way you can do that is if you bring tremendous character.
Right. Yeah,
right.
And that's where you build
your
channel.
If it's almost not about the golf,
right?
You know.
But I think I do think that's where. So to answer your question, I feel like there's not going to be as many. And in my opinion, there's so many PGA Tour stars. You know what I'm saying? Like. Mm-hmm. I think there will be multiple channels that get to the point when maybe they're as big as some of the main guys on the PGA Tour, but I don't know, and it could happen. There could be hundreds one day, which would be great. It would be great for the game of golf, be great in general. I do see it happening. I just don't know if there's going to be as many as there are PGA Tour stars. Because now there's so many new names, too. Cameron Smith just popping off, doing great things, you know. So I don't know.
I think it's because when you watch the PGA Tour or whatever, you watch because the best players are entertaining because they're doing things with the golf ball that most mere mortals can't do. But people watch your videos for entertainment. So although it's different to some degree, so we're all spending time on our phones, in front of our TVs to be entertained. So the more channels that come out and the more people are enjoying it, the more they get invested in you guys, because that's another thing as well. You get a bit more with the likes of Bryson by his own YouTube channel, but you don't really know the golfers, do you? You don't know the personality. Yeah. You see them, they win. They give a very nice interview where they thank the sponsors and thank the greenkeepers and thanks everybody for watching or whatever. But with you guys, and certainly when you've got like vlog channels as well and podcasts or whatever, people feel like they actually start to know you, your personality,
that's
not just
biggest.
How you play golf. And I think I spend more time watching YouTube golf than professional golf.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people.
And I think that's why,
do.
Like, when you do like fan meetups and stuff and you run into fans, it's like there's just a whole different interaction with YouTubers versus somebody in the media that they don't know a lot about.
100%.
It's like they almost know you. They walk up to you like they're your friend because we're there talking to a camera, telling them about our life, personal stuff. Someone on TV, they're not talking about their personal life. They're just like a public figure. And they don't really have that like connection, you know. No, but I just I feel like that's what it's
also
so special.
It's all going to the phone. It's easy access. Yeah. YouTube's on your phone. You know, instead of turning on the TV, flipping through the channels, finding the PGA Tour, stuff like that, it's on the phone. It's easy access.
The YouTube algorithm knows you better than you know yourself.
Yeah,
so literally. If you start opening that YouTube app, it's going to feed you content that it knows you like.
Right,
just is. I know you've got to shoot off. You're going to hit that. Down to Heathrow, so I don't want to keep you too long. Last question then. What's the goal moving forward? Give me the 5-year goal.
That's a big question. Keep improving, keep building the team, keep expanding. You know, one of our next goals is to get apparel in the UK easier. So stuff like that. Keep expanding, signing more talent as well. You know, we signed a guy, Andrew Kozan, Korn Ferry Tour professional, stuff like that. Working with more YouTubers like yourselves, and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think for us, we see ourselves on a really good track, what we're doing, and we want to make our content better and better and better. Come up with more ideas, spend more time on the content. And I think that's really. I feel like in my eyes, that's all we can do. It's like we just need to make as good a content as possible. I think the rest will happen. That's what I see, at least.
As well as making hardware.
Yeah.
Putters.
Yeah. Oh, that as well. Yeah.
Golf balls. More apparel.
And putters happening literally, what's the date? It's in 5 days. We're launching our putters.
Well, I should have had my hands on the 3 latest models.
And you would have. You would have.
If your golf clubs hadn't got lost.
Yep. Yeah, we gotta have you do a review.
We'll have to
on
ship
them.
Those.
A review would
I wanted
be
to
awesome.
Do a, I wanted to review live in front of all of you.
That'd be awesome.
I'd be a little intimidated. I'd be like, all right, well,
better say the right thing.
This could be really bad or really good.
Is this scratched? How much? No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm like going, oh, I don't like the feel of this. Not
yeah, this
all.
Putter doesn't roll too true.
I keep missing. You'll all be lining me up. Yeah. No, Rick, it's right to left. It's you're aiming a bit left.
You're going
to
be lipping out.
Doing a lot of lip outs this week. Yeah. Honestly, good luck to both of you doing. I feel like you are entrepreneurs at an unbelievably early age. I'm excited to see what the future holds. I'm excited to be kind of somewhat part of your journey as well. Like I'm a huge supporter, a huge fan, and I can't wait to see the content keep growing. And I think the only thing we can do is race to 10 million subscribers.
Yeah.
<Let's> don't fancy our chances.
But I think that's the exciting. Like I say, competition is good and it's friendly and it's exciting. And I think more collaborations to come, more meetups. And you drive us, we drive you, everyone benefits.
100%. I'll say just a note on that. I think I said to Grant before, it's like, it's competition in a sense of we feel inspired to keep going forward because what these guys are doing. But yeah, it feels like there's some level of crossover in the audience, but there's also like not as well. I feel like it's cool now that I think when golf YouTube channels first started, they were quite similar. They were doing similar things, but now there's so much different variety and people watch a lot. People can watch more than just one channel, can't they?
Oh, yeah.
So do me a favor, stop getting hole-in-ones on par fours and all that jazz because you ruin me with that stuff. Chuck some luck this way.
Right,
okay,
right.
Thank you. I'd really, really appreciate that.
You got the good luck.
Keep it going. Keep smashing it. Guys, if you are listening, watching, and you have not subscribed to Good right now, do it. They are getting unbelievably close to 1 million subscribers. They want a gold plaque. They want 6 of them, 10 of them, however many they want to order. Get them there as quick as they can. So make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. You're not going to regret it. Guys, thanks for listening.
One
thanks for watching.
Thing. One last thing. End of last podcast, you did a Rick secret. We said we'd do it every week now. So people have to listen to the end of the podcast to get your secret. What is your secret this week, Rick?
What's your secret? Whoa.
On Saturday night, I took the boys to the gay village.
And on that note, we will see you next week on Tuesday. Rate us 5 stars, leave a like, and comment down below if you enjoyed this podcast.
And we had lots of fans. Thanks to everyone that came and said hello while we were there.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.